On which side will you be? Question number 66. How do the Davidians regard the Seventh-day Adventist denomination? What position do they take concerning the writings of Mrs. E.G. White, and what does Mount Carmel stand for? Answer. The Davidian Seventh-day Adventists believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was ordained of heaven and charged with a special message for the world, but that in the course of time she permitted herself to grow self-complacent, lukewarm, and careless in discharging her sacred responsibilities, and that thus having once turned back from following Christ her leader, she has ever since been steadily retreating toward Egypt, with the sad and tragic consequence that her own course of continual backsliding has separated her from God. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 217. The Davidians further believe that this tragic departure from the Lord is all too manifest in that divided state revealed in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination by the contest within it between the commandments of God and the commandments of men. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 81. To the end be resolved into unity and strength, an absolute imperative to the Church's ever fulfilling her high destiny, the Davidians still further believe that, as is written, the gold will be separated from the dross in the Church. In other words, they believe that the modernists, those who have rendered supreme homage to science falsely so-called, trusted to intellect, genius, or talented, page 80, will be winnowed from the fundamentalists, from those who are standing in the light, sighing, and crying for the abominations that are done in the land. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 209. Let it, however, be immediately understood that, unlike those who openly affirm their modernistic views, the Seventh-day Adventist modernists deprecate all such tendencies and insistently profess to stand solidly on the fundamentals of Seventh-day Adventism, although unwittingly they gradually slip further and further away from them. Christ Our Righteousness, 1941 edition, page 36. That this drift is recognized as an actual peril by some even within the Church is seen from an article published in the Review and Herald, July 2, 1936, entitled, Modernism: A Personal Application. As we view with alarm the rapid spread of modernism among the various Protestant churches, it is well to consider our own lives to see if the same principles and trends may not have begun to operate there. While the doctrines and principles of Seventh-day Adventists are fundamentalistic, there is grave danger that we as individuals may become modernistic. In order better to appreciate this danger, it is well to consider the essential difference between fundamentalist beliefs in the Word of God as a final authority, while the modernist believes in the interpretation of the Word of God according to his human reasoning, thus putting reasoning above the God of Revelation. In these last days, God has not confined His revelation to us as a people to the Scriptures only, but has also given us special instruction through the manifestation of the Spirit of prophecy. So while the popular churches show their modernistic attitude only toward the Bible, it is possible for us to show the same attitude toward God's special messages to us. In fact, our relation to the testimonies is the very place where this attitude will be first manifested. This insidious variety of modernism, weakening the faith of God's people, in the Testimonies, Volume 4, page 211, and gradually new modeling the denomination's fundamental principles, Testimonies to Ministers, pages 48, 69, 70, 360, 372, 373, 409, is heartbreaking evidence that those at its helm are modernists. But their seeming innocence of the fact, and their denial of it, make exceedingly difficult our doing anything to help them, without our efforts being misunderstood. And to fix guilt for starting the drift away from the heaven-established fundamentals of the faith today, is as impossible as to trace down the first Jewish teacher who put in the place of Thus saith the Lord, Thus saith himself, or someone else. Indeed, whom to charge with this defection is as impossible to determine as is the date when the evil work started. Inspiration says, there are those today who will present falsehoods as testing truths, even as the Jews presented the maxims of men as the bread of heaven. Sayings of no value are given to the people of God as their portion of meat, while souls are starving for the bread of life. Fables have been devised and men are trying to weave these fables into the web. Those who do this will one day see their work as it is viewed by the heavenly intelligences. They choose to bring to the foundation wood, hay, and stubble, when they have at their command the Word of God, with all its richness and power, from which they can gather precious treasures of truth. The food that is being prepared for the flock will cause spiritual consumption, decline, and death. When those who profess to believe present truth come to their senses, when they accept the word of God just as it reads, when they do not try to wrest the scriptures, they will bring from the treasure house of the heart things new and old to strengthen themselves and those for whom they labor. The Review and Herald, June 18, 1901. Next, the Davidians hold that the belief that the spirit of prophecy is to repose in the church to the end of time is one of the foundation stones of Seventh-day Adventism. This prophetic gift bestowed, admits Elder A.G. Daniels, was to abide with the church from Adam to the second advent of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he comes to take his redeemed people to paradise. It did not cease with the apostles, but is traceable through the centuries to the last days of human history, just before the return of our Lord. When that supreme event of the ages shall occur, then, and not until then, shall come to pass that which is spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. 1 Corinthians 13:8-10, a revised version, The Abiding Gift of Prophecy, page 6. Since this prophetic gift was manifest through Sister White, as has been evidentially established, she necessarily, then, wrote under divine inspiration, as did the Bible writers. And, therefore, Orthodox Seventh-day Adventism turns on the pivotal truth that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, and can no more be understood now without special divine illumination than could prophecy have been understood in Daniel's time without enlightenment from the angel, who explained, "I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince." Daniel 10:21. Just so, the same Michael must commission a teacher for us today, otherwise those things which belong to our peace will be hid from our eyes. Luke 19:42. This solid rock of doctrine was ever to be the denomination's sure foundation, and just to the extent that its principles have been faithfully followed out has there been power in the church. Upon the death of Sister White, in 1915, the gift of inspiration, the active spirit of prophecy, became quiescent, no longer manifesting itself, for a time. With the church thus cut off from the very source of its life, as was the Jewish church, from the death of the prophet Malachi to the rise of John the Baptist, how could it maintain its vitality and growth? Hence, now, as then, there has followed the same inevitable spiritual malnutrition and deformity, accompanied with a long train of woes. Against this dark background of spiritual decline and consumption, wretchedness, misery, poverty, blindness, and nakedness, and imminent end being spewed out, stands out in bold relief the stern leech-chiseled work of Mount Carmel Center, as did the flaming summit of ancient Carmel, amid the idolatry and decadence of apostate Israel. Again type meets antitype. "But to the Israel of God today," says the angel, "ye have done worse than they." Testimonies, Volume 1, page 129. "Like a hammer to break the flinty heart, like a fire to consume the dross." Testimonies, Volume 5, page 254. "The voice of Carmel cries unto Laodicea the unheeded warning, I am filled with sadness, when I think of our condition as a people. The Lord has not closed heaven to us, but our own course of continual backsliding has separated us from God. Pride, covetousness, and love of the world have lived in the heart without fear of banishment or condemnation. Grievous and presumptuous sins have dwelt among us, and yet the general opinion is that the church is flourishing, and that peace and spiritual prosperity are in all her borders. The church has turned back from following Christ her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at their want of spiritual power. Doubt and even disbelief of the testimonies of the Spirit of God is leavening our churches everywhere. Satan would have it thus. Ministers who preach self instead of Christ would have it thus. The testimonies are unread and unappreciated. God has spoken to you. Light has been shining from His Word and from the testimonies, and both have been slighted and disregarded. The result is apparent in the lack of purity and devotion and earnest faith among us." Testimonies, Volume 5, page 217. "Now is the time when we should closely connect with God, that we may be hid when the fierceness of His wrath is poured upon the sons of men. We have wandered away from the old landmarks. Let us return. If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal, serve him. Which side will you be on? Testimonies, Volume 5, page 137. And now louder and louder sounds the voice of Carmel, through the series of the Shepherd's Rod publications, the Lord's voice, unto the city, and, says the divine author, the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Micah 6:9. Feed thy people, he commands, with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Micah 7:14. Thus to rescue the honest in Laodicea, from spiritual starvation and death, to revitalize, restore, and rearm them for the final conflict, the Lord has sent the rod. When this work of restitution has been completed according to Matthew 17:11, and the modernist element has been cut off as decreed in Ezekiel 9, and, in Testimonies, Vol. 5, page 80, then will be seen in the church a speedy fulfillment of the words of Christ, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it stood. Matthew 7:25. Like the early pioneers of the Adventist Church, those who heed the rod are the restorers of the old paths. They realize the grave consequences involved in going contrary to any light the Lord chooses to send His people. And since the message of the rod has aroused an interest in the need of reformation among God's people, we, as Davidians, would not only be recreant to out-trust, but would also be passing by on the other side, allowing our beloved Seventh-day Adventist Church to drag in the dust, our brethren to be lost, and the world around us to perish for lack of knowledge, if we did not bestir ourselves to warn the Church of the oncoming danger. Our unselfish zeal and effort to help all modernist Seventh-day Adventist brethren, regardless of their race, nationality, or social position, is evidence enough of our love for them and our devotion to them. We believe with the Apostle Paul that all are of the children of Adam, children of adoption into the family of God, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Though we realize the greatness of our goal, yet with implicit confidence in our leader, who has never yet failed to carry through any phase of the divine purpose, we face our task with courage and confidence, believing that we are well able to go up and possess the land of our inheritance, and finally to pass into that heavenly Canaan, where milk and honey will flow forever. Of necessity, then, Mount Carmel Center is being built as a base of operations for training and fitting workers to carry this special message to the church, for educating deserving youth, for caring for worthy poor, aged, widowed, and orphaned, and for ministering to the sick and infirm according to God's plan. It has heard God's double charge to it: cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58:1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Joel 2:15, 16. When it has accomplished this closing work for the Church Testimonies, Volume 3, page 266, then those who have overcome every temptation, in the strength of the Might One, who have sighed and cried and escaped the destruction, will be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord, before them. Zechariah 12:8. Davidians indeed. A great people and a strong. Joel 2:2, clad in the armor of Christ's righteousness, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners, to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. In this way the Davidian Seventh-day Adventists are to gather all the saints to the house of the Lord. Mount Carmel's great burden is to get this manifold work done as soon as possible, so that we may then go home to our eternal rest, no more to be fettered with the shackles of sin,